when I'm alone. Stand with me, stand with me, stand with me.
Hello, Collective Table listeners. We are so excited for today's episode. Dana and I, Chelsea, are joined with Niella, who is going to talk with us about her song, Stand With Me. And we're so excited to just kind of jump into the conversation. Niella, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. It's so good to be here.
And we were just saying, you are our first out-of-country interview. You're calling from the UK. So this is so exciting. We're reaching everywhere, technology these days.
Very cool. Very cool.
So let's just kick it off and just tell us a little bit about you. For those that might not have heard your music or known your story, just maybe give us a couple minutes of like where you came from, how you got into music, kind of your background.
I'm going to try and summarize it because that's quite a story.
I know.
My name is Niella. I was born in the UK, for the most part raised in the UK, but also kind of like sort of grew up in Ghana here and there. The first time I went to Ghana, I was probably like 10, and I went to school there for a little bit, for about 2 years. So before that, I was homeschooled with my siblings. Like, my mom homeschooled us, and she's also a minister. So she founded our church, Emmanuel International Christian Center. Dana looks really excited about that.
Woman who founded a church.
Yeah. She, like, my mom is like superwoman. She founded the church. She would literally have us, you know how they tie the babies on their back in Ghana and some other African countries. So she would literally do that and preach, you know, like, yeah, it was crazy.
Beautiful.
I don't know how she did it, but you know, we're here and we're all right. We're well. But yeah, so I grew up actually very introvert, very shy, very quiet. Out of all my siblings, I was probably the quietest one, but also super goofy. So that's kind of how I would show my, like, if I wanted to express myself, I'd kind of do it through like a funny kind of way, because I didn't know how else to. I was like, oh, when I do this, people laugh. Okay. I think that works. So my family is very musical. My brothers play instruments. My uncles play all kinds of instruments. My mom sings, you know, as best as she can. My grandma sings. So sometimes in the house, everyone would just be singing. Like, someone would pick a song and then everyone would start harmonizing. And my brother would probably use the stairs as like a drum kind of thing and start like hitting it with like pots and pans and things. So I grew up surrounded by music, but I never actually grew up thinking I want to be a musician. I wanted to be everything else besides a musician. I think I said I wanted to be a poet. I wanted to be someone that wrote novels. I wanted to be an artist. I wanted to design clothes. I wanted to be a nurse. I wanted to be everything apart from a singer. But it just so happens that when things actually started kicking off, like in my teenage years, and I started searching and asking questions, music was the one thing that always tugged on me. And not just any music, but mainly gospel music. Even though at a point I was running away from like God, I was like, I'm not even sure if you exist or if you're real or what's going on. I don't understand anything anymore. But I would listen to like a gospel song when I was like super depressed. And then all of a sudden, I just feel like loved, like you can make it till tomorrow. You know, tomorrow was good enough for me at that time. And so when I went to Ghana, and then this is like a very condensed version, went to Ghana, did a competition out there. This was the first competition. So I've been in two, but that was the first competition I ever did. And I did it just because I was bored. I needed something to do, you know? And so I did it, came second. And that's the first time that I was like, no, of all the things that I supposedly wanted to be, this is the one thing that I haven't gotten bored of. And I kind of, there's like a connection there. And like a joy and a love. And I figured out I could sing when I was like 15. I was listening to a Kiara Shared album and I was kind of singing along. There was a moment where I was like, wait a minute, I'm singing along to this person that I think is really good. So I was like, maybe I'm better than I think I am. So I had a flip phone and I recorded myself. I turned the music off and like in my head, I was like, yo, this is your best singing that you're gonna do, like you're gonna, you know, sing. And so I took the phone and I kind of started singing, and then I pressed stop and then played it back to myself, and I was like, I think there's something here. Then I was like, can I write songs? So I took a book and just started trying to write a song, and all of a sudden I could write songs, and I was like, wait, what? So yeah, that happened. But I still didn't like, oh, I want to be a musician, but that was now with me. So it's after the competition that I was like, no, this is the one thing I've never gotten bored of, never gotten tired of, and I really love, and music literally saved my life. I'm going to stick with it, and here we are.
Did your family or did any of your friends ever say, wow, you're like, you can really sing? Like, have you thought about doing this? Or was it really just you realizing it on your own?
I think that moment was so mind-blowing for me, because to me, all of us could sing. there wasn't really anything else to compare it to.
Right.
So it was like, oh, we can all sing. I mean, yeah, I'd be encouraged to like lead a song at church and or in the choir, even though I'd try and hide, or at school competitions, you know, or showcases, talent shows, you know, I'd probably go up there and sing. But I never really thought it was like some kind of singing that was like, you know, it was that moment that I was listening to someone that I thought was like crazy. And then I was like, wait, I can actually do some of this stuff. And then I was like, oh, wait, no, this is more than I thought it was.
I have no idea what that's like. I cannot sing at all. I can recognize good music, but I can't.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I've had a few people say they can't sing, but then they've come to like one session and we've kind of tapped into some gold.
There you go, Chelsea.
I mean, I would love to. Anytime I was just listening to your song right before we got on and I was like, I wish I could do that.
Me too. Yeah. I feel the same way. I love to sing, but I'm not sure any people want to listen to me sing.
Some of my friends will say the Bible says make a joyful noise.
That's right.
That's where it goes.
Yep, there you go.
We say in the youth group, you sing to express, not to impress.
That's right.
I have no place to go but your arms. So wrap me in your arms when I'm alone.
So you talked a little bit about your faith and but can you elaborate on kind of where are you now? Like what is your faith journey look like? Again, in a nutshell, not that, you know, because I'm sure it's a long story, but where are you now? Where do you think it's come from?
Even though I grew up obviously in a Christian home, I had to come to this place where it started from when I was about 15. I guess usually the quieter people, you know, the introverts are usually the ones that always, clearly we're thinking about something, which is why we're not talking, you know? Mm-hmm. I've always been quite like perceptive and just kind of like, people would do things, even as a kid, like one auntie or whatever would come over and be doing something. And I'd just kind of be like, should you be doing that, you know? But you can't really ask the adults like, should you, what? Why did you say that? Like, what did that mean? Or this one's a bit mean, isn't she? You know, you can't really say that. But when I got to 15, and I'm going to try and summarize the story, but basically I ended up basically falling in love, whatever love looked like as a 15, just turning 16 year old, with a boy in my church. And when that happened, he was like one of the bad boys, right? And so that didn't go down well with, like, you know, leadership. And it's like, you know, pastor's daughter, of all the boys that you could like, why this one? You know, he's here for rehabilitation in the presence of the Lord. Even though he did have his issues, like looking back on it as an adult, I'm like, the guy did have his issues. However, he was the first person to kind of sit down and listen to me, for real. Because I was so shy and so introvert, sometimes I would say things. Like, somebody would even come up to me and say to me, like, how are you doing, Niela? And I just kind of be like, do I say fine? Or do I say, oh, I'm fine? Or, and I would panic in my head. And then the person would be looking at me and I'm like, oh my God, I think it's too late to speak out loud. And then it would get really awkward. And then I'd feel really bad. And then it would just be like, oh, well, good to see you, kind of. I'd be like, man, I didn't say what I wanted to say. You know, but with him, for some reason, like, sometimes he would ask me a question, I'd give my answer, and then he would ask me, is that how you meant to say what you just said, or is that how you meant to express yourself? And sometimes I'd be like, no. And then he'll be like, okay, I'll sit with you and I'll wait, like, put your thought in a row and then try again. And we'd literally just be both quiet on the phone, and then I'd come back and be like, okay, this is what I wanted to say. And he's like, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah. And then he's like, okay, cool. Like, that's fine. How hard was that, kind of thing? And it just helped build my confidence. So at the same time too, I didn't know how to explain to the adults that the reason why I like this person is because he listens.
Mm, yeah.
And at that point, like, I just felt like people were not very understanding in that time. And they were not very forgiving. These are people that I've always looked at as examples of God to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like they were God, you know, growing up and just seeing my family members. It's like, that's my first introduction of God. For them, some people to turn around and just be awful, or to even say certain things, oh, you can confide in me. And then I confide in you. And in the same breath, you're like, well, I'm going to go and tell mom. And it's just like, why would you do that? And so that sent me down like a spiral of asking all these questions. Like, how is it possible that you supposedly hear from God, but you can be mean? How is it possible that you supposedly represent God, but you can be not nice, you know? And I just went down this like rabbit hole of just asking questions and having to learn to forgive, you know, because there was so much pain. Like, I had so much pain inside. Like, why did you hurt me? Why? Like, I wouldn't have done that. And what I couldn't understand was, I wouldn't do that to them. So why did they do that to me? But that was the same way that God kind of used that situation to explain to me that, so it's not me, is it? Like, it's not me, God, it's the people.
Yeah.
You know, and I was able to forgive, because if someone does something to hurt you, as twisted as it is, in their brain somewhere, it's justified.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Or they wouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
It means that this is the way I was able to understand it. Even though sometimes it sounds kind of crazy. Like, if you saw somebody who was unwell, you wouldn't pick a fight, an argument with them and try to prove your point, because you just know that they're just not going to get it. And when someone's mindset is a particular way, sometimes you can't go inside and just change the way they think. I just told myself, the reason why they hurt me is because they're unwell in some respects. It's because they're unwell. And it helped me to just be like, I'm going to let it go.
That's good.
And also understand that, like, God is love because I can love. And when I saw other people going through situations that I went through, I didn't turn around on them and be like, I'm just going to snitch on you. I was like, what do you need? In that moment, the reason why I was so attached to that boy was because I needed something.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of jump started my whole relationship with God. And like, it's like you said, it's been long. I can't get into all of it, but just seeing how this relationship that I have with God, like, I can sit down and be like, I don't understand this. Can you take time out of your greatness to explain this to me? And sometimes I'll just be patient and wait, because I'm like, I know you answer me eventually. I don't know when or how, but I know you answer. And just that through life, through all kinds of obstacles and things. And I've gotten to this point where I undeniably know that God is real, because God has answered me in ways that, like, I just don't believe in coincidences at this point. I'm like, it's just not possible.
Do you have a faith home that you like? Do you go regularly? Do you have a worship? Have you like, you know what? I'm still kind of trying to figure all that out.
Beginning of when the whole pandemic happened, I was, you know, actively going to my church here in the UK. But when the whole pandemic happened, I think we went online on Zoom and everything. And all of a sudden, I just felt so disconnected from everything.
Mm.
And I felt like I had a moment with God where God literally asked me, why do you believe what you believe? And why are you here? And why are you saved? Why? And I was like, oh, well, he was like, you know, remove your parents from there. Remove the fact that you grew up in church. You've seen certain things. Why are you here? And then I was like, oh, well, you know, when I was 19, you saved me from being depressed and, you know, suicidal and blah, blah, blah. And God was like, okay, so basically you have a shopping basket relationship with me. So he was like, how about we take all the things that I've done away? Now why are you here? And my answer was, I'm not entirely sure. But that left me kind of like looking at the character of God and not what he does. And that made me have to look at my character. It's almost like we were like in a mirror, like looking at each other, just kind of like staring, like a stare off. And all of a sudden, I just had like, I don't know, 6 months of just feeling so naked and vulnerable. Everything and anything would make me cry. And I'm not a crier. So all my friends were literally like, are you okay? And I was like, I'm fine. I was like, everything just feels so raw. I don't know why. It's like I'd been turned inside out. I felt like a baby that was eating, like, you know, adult food for the, you know how they go?
Yeah.
Everything. Like, just people expressing emotion or saying something, I just go red, like my nose goes red. And I just start, you know, like tearing up. It definitely did something to me. And all of a sudden I was like, I want to get to know God for God, not for the things that he does. Or like, I just want to kind of sit in the love of God, whatever that is.
So it sounds like you've been deconstructing a lot during COVID.
Yes, there we go. I felt very disconnected from my church, and I felt like I could see a lot of issues. Like, I could see that people were hurting. I could see people were broken. I could see a lot of people needed to go through the same process that I was going through. But it was almost like you can't heal anyone when you're bleeding yourself. Right. So I had to step away for a while and not go to service. I didn't go to church for a very long time. I actually found this cute little church that's 15 minutes away from my house, and it's full of just young people just going crazy for, I didn't even know it was there, like just going crazy for God. I just visited one time and I wept the whole service. Here we go crying again. Oh, wept the whole service. I felt like the whole sermon was just for me. You know, every time I'm in the UK now, I have to pass through there, like, you know, go there and visit. And when I'm in Ghana, I go to my home church, which is where my mom is mostly, you know, in Ghana. So yeah, when I'm in Ghana, I go to my home church in Ghana. And when I'm here, for the most part, if I'm not booked somewhere singing, I probably go to the church, which is, you know, called Kingdom Ambassadors. I don't even know the name. Kingdom Ambassadors Center. Everyone calls it KAC. So yeah, I think I did. Yeah, it's definitely Kingdom Ambassadors. Not sure about the C.
That's good.
Okay. I never heard that term before, shopping cart. So it's really like this maturity of like, instead of what can God do for me? Who is God in nature? And what does that look like? How is that different? That's a huge shift. If our relationship relationship with God is dependent on what happens in our lives. Well, it's going to be a roller coaster of a relationship.
It definitely is when it is that when that dynamic is in play. It's not great because it means when things are down, you're down. When things are up, and it's like God is great. Then when things are bad, it's like, oh, God ain't great. When you just, I don't know, come to this point of just seeing who God is, regardless, when things are bad, you're just like, it's just a phase. When things are good, you're like, it's just a phase. Like, everything's just a phase. You just kind of glide through a lot easier. I mean, yeah, sometimes you have your moments where you need to stop and just breathe, stop and cry, stop and reflect.
Yeah.
But then you're just still like, it's just a phase.
Yeah.
So it's been interesting. It's been an interesting journey.
When I can see the way, oh dear God, order my steps one by one. I accept that I cannot make it without you.
Has the journey been reflected in your music, I guess?
Definitely, 110%. And the new project that is going to come out is definitely going to reflect that. And what's so weird about that is some of the songs were written recently, but some of the songs were written when I was like 19, 20, 21, 22. And at the time when I was writing those songs, I didn't know why I was writing them. I thought I was writing them about my situation or circumstance at the time. But now when I sing those songs, I'm like, whoa.
I was wise back then.
It's so strange. Like, it's so strange. It's almost like my past self wrote it for my future self. I don't know.
Wow. That's powerful. Yeah.
Even the song, part of it was written then, and then some of it was like recent.
Let's get into the song. I love this song. Your voice is just so powerful. And then the end when like the choir comes in, it flows so well. Part of the song was written prior, parts written now. Tell us about like how it all came together.
I believe that song, part of it was written when I was probably like 22, and I can't remember exactly where I was. It reflects 22-year-old Niella, because I'm saying, I'm here and I'm chasing
things I may not have, and I say, I know what's best for me, but still I find myself in hard situations. I realize that I can't.
That's what I was probably going for at the time. I was just like, I have no place to go. I'm so alone. Having a moment being 22 and just trying to figure things out, and also realizing that one of the reasons why we even need God is because as human beings we're flawed, and sometimes we make decisions even thinking like, this is an amazing choice, and then it just like, you know, like someone pulling an elastic band and just in your head, and you're like, oh, I thought that was a really good choice.
Yeah, right.
Why don't I know what's good for me? I thought I was doing a good thing, but it wasn't any good. You know,
I think we're all laughing at those times we've had that rubber band.
And again, yeah. A wonderful metaphor. That was so good. I love that.
It's so painful because it's like, okay, I can understand when other people hurt me, but when I hurt myself unknowingly, that doesn't make sense to me. I can't deal with that, because where else do you go from there? You know, right. That's basically where you need God. And so that's that, like the first part of the song is basically expressing that, you know, like, I need you, because like, stand with me, because I make terrible decisions even when I think I'm making great ones. And then I tried to write a second verse, and I promise you, I probably wrote a verse and listened back to it and I was like, that's terrible. I probably lost that verse, and I wasn't too bothered when I lost it because I was like, it wasn't very good. When did I release the song? 2019. So literally 2019, I was like, this song needs to come out. Like, it's just been in the archives, just kind of collecting dust for ages. And I want to put out a single. I was actually meant to put out, I think, an EP at the time. And like, this was meant to be one of the first songs that would come out. All of a sudden, I imagine this song has been there. And I've been trying, every time I think of it, I'm like, do I feel, like, I have to feel the lyrics. Like, this makes sense. Nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Years passing, nothing, nothing. Then all of a sudden, 2019, I'm like, this song needs to come out in the moment. Your word is a lie. And I'm like, how, where have you been? Verse, I've been looking for you.
Your word is a light unto my feet, illuminate the road when I can't see the way, oh dear God, order my steps.
I also learned that you don't rush some songs, they write themselves. Life and experiences and things help write. Because I think probably at the time, if I'd written a verse too, it would have followed the same line. But it, the song progresses now.
Yes.
Because it talks about, I'm here and I'm chasing things. Then it says, your word is a light. So it's like, your word is the thing that I'm supposed to trust.
Yep.
You know, a lamp unto my feet. So illuminate the path so I can see the road. Like, man. So that's how that song came about. And then, yeah, we recorded it. And I was like, I think I need a choir at the end. So yeah. I think around that time, I just met the choir director of the choir that's on the song. He was also like, you know, where have you been? You just seem to just pop out of nowhere. I was like, I was in Ghana, you know, chilling. But, you know, now I'm in the UK. And I was like, actually, I have a song I want you to listen to. So he listened to it and was like, this is a no-brainer. Like, we would definitely sing on this. And yeah, we just kind of put it together. And even the ad-libs at the end, I think I sang it once through. I just closed my eyes and just sang. Mm. And afterwards, oh, I'm not sure I'm going to sing it again. And I sang it again. And everyone was like, see that first take that you did? Something, whatever was going on in your head at that time, that's the take. Don't sing it again. So I was like, okay, fine. But yeah, that's how that song came together.
And did you write it for yourself or was it for an audience? Because it feels really personal. Like it's like this thing you were actually almost narrating where you were. So was it like more like just like, this is what's happening in me? Or did you write it for a particular audience of people?
It was definitely personal. A lot of the songs that I write are personal. They come out of like a situation or a prayer or something that I'm feeling at the time. And I find that like one thing I discovered with, you know, my voice is almost like I can take people, I guess it's a gift. I'm able to take people on a journey with the music depending on how I sing. You know, I can almost like draw out certain emotions. And this is something that I used to find kind of scary or intimidating, like when I first started singing, because I'd go to an event and somebody else is on stage and everyone is like jumping and like, going crazy. And then I take a mic and start singing and you could hear a pin drop. And that was very intimidating for me because I was like, why is everyone just staring at me? But then afterwards, people would come and be like, oh, I'm so touched. And I was like, why did you look like you were touched sitting there? So I went to this one event with my mom, but at that time too, my confidence wasn't great. So I went to this one event with my mom, like years later, kind of building confidence, you know, and everything. I remember I was on stage singing and I looked at my mom and I saw her go like this and like, look, cause it was like, you know, floors up, what's it called? Like the balcony and then on top. So I see her look at me and the room is super quiet. And then I see her turn around and look all the way up and then look back at me like this. And I was just like, what's happening? Like, why is she doing that? What's happening? But at that point, I just felt led to be like, stop singing and ask the crowd to sing. And I was singing, bless the Lord, oh my soul. I sang for a bit and then I stopped. And then I was like, everybody, bless the Lord. And the whole room, it was like a choir.
Mm.
Like it was so packed. I literally kind of stood back and just let them sing and kind of ad-libbed and kind of, you know, led them. And then afterwards, my mom said to me, she was like, do you know why they go quiet? And I was like, I'm not entirely sure. And she was like, God has given you a gift to take people somewhere. Not everybody has that ability to take people. So she was like, you don't need to be intimidated by the fact that they're quiet. You need to realize that it's your responsibility in that moment to lead them to the message or whatever it is that you're, you know. So she was like, you see how once you flipped it on them and told them to sing, they all instinctively sang. And so with this, with, you know, Stand With Me, I just realized that I sing the songs and if I feel it, it means that I can channel that and I can get other people to feel it. So as much as it's personal, I'm also able to kind of take people somewhere. So I guess the answer is, if it's personal to me, then I know that it's for people.
Yeah, that makes sense.
There is something about music that you're absolutely right. It is a journey. And if it is done, like it can take you out of your body, but it also can embody you. Like it's just, there are times where, you know, certainly when I'm in like a worship experience, it's not the sermon, it's not the message, it's not, but it's the music. You can just feel and you know the spirit is there and it's a holy place. And so yeah. I understand that very much.
Yeah. I mean, I was telling my friend the other day, like sometimes when the worship is just, it's like you just want to leave here and just be gone somewhere. Like you, it's like your soul wants to just fly. Yeah. And you have to remember that, hello, it's not time to fly, please. But it just feels so like unreal. It's amazing what music can do. Like it's just, it's beyond understanding. Sometimes you can't explain it to someone until they felt it.
You talked a little bit about gospel music. What artists or genres have inspired you, or do you gravitate towards, or maybe look to as you're writing and creating music?
Growing up, we weren't allowed to listen to any mainstream music. It was just like Christian music. So as long as it was Christian, it didn't matter the genre. We listened to Christian country music, Christian rock music, Christian pop. As long as it was Christian, my mom was like, "That's fine. I just don't know what you guys are listening to. I just want to make sure that you listen to Jesus. If it's Christian, it's Christian." You know, I would listen to from Third Day to, I think, was there a group called Jars of Clay?
Yes, I love Jars of Clay. That was my jam.
Like, there was just like a plethora, Newsboys, all kinds of music, as long as it was Christian music, and then also Ghanaian local music, and then Black gospel music. There was just so much. So I find that all of that is so interesting, because I was literally on another interview and, you know, they were talking about me being on Sunday Best and why do I think I did well when I was there. And I was like, because I think I just sounded like something people haven't, it's almost like you've heard, but it's like, wait, why did you do that kind of thing? And I was like, it's literally a combination of Ghanaian local, British music, American music, probably maybe a bit of country twang. I have no idea. It's just all this different stuff happening. But another thing that I always kind of made it a point to do was not listen to anyone too much till I start to sound like them, because I realized that some people would sound like or mirror. So even if I admired someone, I would listen to them, but I'd take breaks from them just because I'm like, I don't want to sound, because, you know, human, like, we're sponges. And so I would always try and just write from a place of, I don't know where, to be honest. I don't know how to explain this. I just write from somewhere. And it just kind of, I guess, created this whole different something. And I find that it's going to come out more and more as I keep looking up, because I just wrote the titles of all the songs and they're sticking on the wall over there. And I stuck them there because I'm like, I want to look at them every day because I need a title for the EP and I don't have one yet. So that's why every time I keep talking about music, I keep looking up, because there's a big sheet with titles of the songs up there. But yeah, it's very different. Obviously, I think there are amazing singers. Kiara Shed, I will always love, because I was listening to her when I discovered that I could, you know, sing more than I thought I could. And I'm always going to love gospel music, but I also love CCM music as well. I just love whatever, as long as it sounds good. And I'm also big on lyrics. So once the lyrics hit and it's just like, wow, like, that will probably hook me.
Can you tell us about the new project? What should we expect?
I guess you guys get an exclusive, because I haven't actually spoken about this. I haven't even told people on my socials.
Ooh. See, we asked the right questions.
The EP is basically what we are still, to some extent, trying to figure out what Neela's sound is. Because to some extent, it doesn't quite exist. Like a hybrid of gospel, some CCM, and just like I say, Neela-ness, whatever that is, whatever I feel like at the moment. We're planning to do a live recording and then kind of take all that data and then process it and then add some quirks here and there and stuff. And we don't even entirely know what that's going to sound like. We do have rough sketches of all the songs, and the songs are all very personal.
So how can people make sure that they're keeping up with you, knowing what you're doing? Social media, tell us how they can follow you.
So I'm most active on my Instagram, Neela, NIELLA _official. I'm about to release some content from last year's worship concert on YouTube. So that's also Neela Official. Most of my socials are Neela with the double I, to be honest. If you type it somewhere, you'll probably find me. But if you wanted to have a conversation or something, then Instagram is your best bet, because I get lost in the other apps. I picked one.
I get that.
But Neela, thank you so much for your time. We're so appreciative of not only the conversation, but your work in the world and the beautiful way that you invoke music and life and feeling. It's such a personal way that your songs are so personal, and that you invite people into that experience with you.
Yeah.
We're grateful.
It is a gift. Thank you.
Thank you. Really appreciate that.